Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yes.
Yeah.
It is Thanksgiving Eve, isn't it?
It actually is. How are you ever? You know, I also heard that, you know, I heard that that Hanukkah and Thanksgiving fall on the same year, same day this year, which I never knew. And they said that, I didn't know that. I mean, I always just assumed that Hanukkah was in December. And yeah, and they said that's not going to happen for another 76,000 years. Amazing, huh?
We might not be around.
I didn't know.
We might not be around.
I think it's like a little past our time, but yeah.
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 Thank goodness. Thank the Lord. We'll be with him and just remembering this little blip on the radar screen called, this 70, 80 years, 90 years of life.
on Mother Earth. So, good.
Yeah. Well,
so what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you all cooking?
We're not traveling. We're at home. And,
good.
Monica's folks are coming. And
good.
She's been, she's been cooking the turkey all day today, and I've been testing the turkey just to make sure,
isn't that wonderful?
Right.
Just make sure you have some skin left by the time the family comes. That's the best part.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I'm hoping. Yeah, and she's like, "You can't eat all of this before they get here." I said, "No, I promise. I want to make sure you're getting it right."
Yeah, right. Oh, it's so good, though. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
So I like the idea of we're not traveling. Now, you are on that East Coast. Where are you in the middle of that blizzard?
Well, it started to snow a little bit earlier, but it seems okay. But I think it's going to be bad tonight. I'm not in the middle of it, actually. But, I just had a little accident. I'm supposed to be heading back to Hawaii in a couple weeks, and I just broke my leg in a couple places. And so it's kind of so I'm stationary, and my ankle and my foot, and I have to have surgery, and it's kind of crazy. But I hear they're going to cancel a lot, and the roads are supposed to get bad later. But where we are, it's not bad right now. Just some little bit of snow flurry. But, yeah, I think a lot of travelers are going to be, as what happens every year this time of year, kind of stuck in the airports. And you wonder, is that all worth it, huh? But
it's part of the tradition for a lot of people. And I know I'm just watching CNN and some of the national news channels, and they're talking like half the country, a third of the eastern seaboard or whatever is just going to be like buried. Of course, they always make it sensational, so we'll watch, I guess. But
you know what? Yeah. This morning I had to go for a pre-op and take a cab, which is something I wouldn't normally do. And my son couldn't – he was doing spinal research, so he actually was dealing with the cadavers today, taking out the spines of the dead bodies. It's kind of gross. I shouldn't say that.
Ew.
So he took off Monday to take me to the surgeons, but he couldn't take off today because it's like he's the one doing it. And I'm like, no, don't worry. Let me just take a cab. Mm-hmm. The cab driver says to me, well, it's 40-some degrees, but they're saying we're having this major storm. He said they just scare everybody, But they need to warn everybody, too, So it was still warm. But I don't think it's worth it. If it's really bad, I don't drive. And, they said a lot of the country was getting it. And did you hear New Mexico had snow? Was it New Mexico last week?
Whoa.
Of the country are getting this weird weather that we never had before, When it doesn't
weird.
Snow, it's snowing. So it's very weird. It's very strange. It's just very different, huh? So.
Sign of the times.
But it's that's a good thing now. Everybody has the internet and the phone. And they can stay home and cook, and you don't have to go out and do all that stuff anymore, you know? You know, somebody was also telling me that people are getting ready for this holiday shopping. Somebody said that this woman was sitting, has been at Best Buy's for the last 3 days. Like, why are you doing this? Like, is it really that worth it to get, save a little bit of money?
Stop
but
it.
Anyhow.
Yeah, stop it, people. Stop it.
I don't know. It's whatever. If they're happy.
Yeah, it occurred to me, I saw an ad, you know, an internet ad that popped up, you know, somewhere, whatever, on Yahoo, and it said, you know, doorbuster sale. And I'm like, you know, perhaps given that every year people die and are dismembered trying to get in the doors, we should use another
doorbuster. Oh, God. That's terrible.
Doorbuster.
That's terrible.
Aren't we, like, aren't we encouraging that craziness by calling it a doorbuster?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. No, I get it. I get it.
Stop it.
Well, this person that told me this story about the woman at Best Buy said, are there a bunch of people there? No, she's the only one there. They said, maybe she just wants to get on TV. And I'm like, oh, my, okay, whatever. I said, I'm not even a shopper, so I can't go there, you know. It's like, but it's like, you know, I'm like, okay, if, you know, I guess the key is if we're motivated about things, that's a plus, right? But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, here's my take on materialism, and it's from a movie. I'm just going to say it. A movie called Fight Club with Brad Pitt. You probably haven't seen it, but it's a guy's movie, but he has a bunch of these guys that he kind of mentors, and they meet together and they fight each other. And he basically, in one of his speeches, he's talking about our society, and he goes, we make all this money. We buy stuff we don't need to impress people we don't like. What's wrong
that's
with that
true.
Picture?
That's too funny. To impress people we don't even like, that's too funny. God, that's hysterical.
Anyway.
God.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Funny. Hey, so we've got a cool show. I mean, we're gonna revisit eminent domain and REITs again a little bit, right? We're gonna talk about that in the first half. And the second half, we have an Olympian with us.
Wow.
Annette Lynch is from Maui, and she's an Olympian. And that's kind of like a president. Once an Olympian, always Olympian. I found out you don't say former Olympian. Once they're an Olympian, they're always an Olympian. And Annette is going to be with us. She represented Australia in the year 2000 in the sport of beach volleyball. And she's now a speaker, trainer, coach, and helping entrepreneurs.
Wow.
And so that'll be cool. She's living on Maui. She also helps mentor youth with the TEDx events over there. So the youth version of the TEDx event, she speaks and helps,
fantastic.
Helps the kids get better at speaking. So, yeah.
I'll be looking forward to that. That's wonderful.
She owns the Olympic record for, like, the fastest serve ever. So she can hit the volleyball. Kaboom!
Wow. Cool.
Pretty cool.
That's really awesome. Well, I love that. Yeah. We'll have to. I'd like to meet a lot of these people that you're bringing on too, that are over in Maui, because you've had quite a few from Maui that are really making a difference
let's
in the world.
It.
Yeah, let's do
We're
it.
We're all part of the same tribe. I think it's destiny. Absolutely.
So, so wherever you are listening, if you want to call in, you can call in at 347-945-5428. If you want to send us your comments, you can go to radio@realityuniversal.com. And of course, if you ever need any assistance or anything, go to realityuniversal.com and just fill out the contact us form and we will be in touch. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about, we've done this on a few shows, eminent domain and then the REITs. And right now, a lot of it's tying in together because we talked to you probably, 2 months ago about eminent domain and the fact of the government's power, the authority to seize, take over properties and actually pay the property owner what they consider market value. And typically it's done to when they're putting in maybe roads or infrastructure or other types of developments. What started happening recently and first started in Richmond, California. Is it Richmond, California? Where they were going to try to do eminent domain to stop foreclosures, to hopefully go in and buy a bunch of underwater mortgages and stop the foreclosure and then maybe be able to work out a different arrangement with the owner to keep the owner in the property. What's been happening are lots of lawsuits The banks, the big lending doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to budge. Well, a lot of the big lending ends up being owned by the REITs. You know, you'll have REITs that are actually tied in with different companies, right? You know, comprised of different companies. So a lot's going on right now. There's a lot of fighting back and forth, but we're seeing other states look into this eminent domain situation. Boston, for one, is looking to possibly do that in Union Square. And some of the old businesses that have been there for years that are not underwater are not happy about it. So you have a lot of pros and cons that are going on everywhere, and I really think it behooves everybody to look into this if you own properties in different cities and towns, in business properties or your property, because more and more of this may go on. What it looks like, which is a little concerning to me, for example, in Union Square in Boston, they're saying that if they do some of this, they may be able to create 4,300 new jobs, 850 extra homes in Union Square, but the massive amounts of work that need to be done and the money to make this happen, they're hopefully looking for one developer. Well, Randy, how could you have one developer unless the pockets are huge, right? You'd have to... They'd have to be very, very – and I just think that is not fair. I think it takes away the playing field. It takes away our entrepreneurship. It takes away, you know, mom-and-pops and businesses being able to get in there and make a living and teach their families how to make a living. And you know, so I think it's really – behooves everybody to watch what's going on with eminent domain and the REITs, because it looks like we're seeing more and more of the big players being able to have the power and the little guys not. So – remember, we all are voters, right? We all do have says. So we have a say in what's going on in our own town, in our own cities, our own states. So it does behoove you to get involved, listen to it, keep up on it a little bit. It doesn't take that much time to see what they're doing, because there's pros and cons, but it really could turn into a big mess as well. So far, even like on the eminent domain, the areas where they're talking about stopping the foreclosures, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are saying, hey, we may not want to go in and we may not want to get involved in this. You know, big lenders are not going to want to get in and lend if they think that their mortgages can be seized this way at any given time. So, and you know, with law and with the with changes, you know, once it changes somewhere, then it starts the ball rolling, right? They always, you know, the court cases always go back to look at previous cases to move forward. So I just think, and I wanted to do, today we wanted to talk about how it ties in together, because can you see, we were talking about the REITs last 2 weeks off and on, and how it may make sense for you to invest in that, especially if you're not going to invest in individual properties. But you can see how there's a tug of war going on, because if more and more eminent domain starts taking place as well, you know. So I just wanted to bring that out and show how it kind of all ties in together, you know. So if they do, say somehow this mess gets pushed through with eminent domain and they figure out a system, they figure out a way that it does work, it could end up working that, hey, if they're doing, like, for example, Boston, and now don't quote me verbatim, you know, I'm giving my opinion, et cetera, on research and things that we're learning and seeing, but say, for example, in Boston, they're saying, hey, we want one developer. Well, the big guys that are saying, hey, we don't want the eminent domain happening because it's going to really hurt us if all of a sudden we're giving loans in a community or in a whole area, and then we can be stopped and told take less money. All of a sudden their ears may be perking up when they go, if part of this is they're going to give it to one when big, you know, the big guy with the deep pockets, then the REITs could be more interested. Can you see how that could kind of tie in and work? But I don't see how that can really work to the benefit of the people in the community, especially people that – there's a lot of mortgages in a lot of these areas where the people are not underwater, where they're paying their mortgages just fine. And they could still be affected because of the eminent domain taking over that entire area. It doesn't necessarily mean that they'll just say, we're taking this one, you know. So it's interesting to watch what's going on, but I don't like what I'm seeing as far as the output, because I really believe somehow with the politics we need to get back to the basics. What's good for the people? How does it help the people? How do we really clear this mess up? And I don't see it happening that way. I see it happening more for what's good for the big guys, you know? No, I really do. I mean, knowing what I know in the industry, and you look at it and you go, this is not. So I really think it's important to put it out there just for, you know, because everybody's important. And when you hear this, you listen to it, you know, Google it. Check into your area. Go, what's going on with our area with eminent domain? Is there anything, or do we have any areas that are being taken over or being considered to be taken over? What are the REITs doing? Who are they buying up? What's going on here? Because real estate really does affect all of us. You know how the property taxes work and the community and state and local municipality taxes. I mean, so I think it's a big issue, and I can see it kind of happening behind the radar because people may not realize it. Like they may say, how does this apply to me? This doesn't apply to me. This isn't going to affect me. And I really think it could, because once we say, just like with the law, once things start working and they get passed, you know, a lot of other places will jump on the bandwagon if they figure out a way to make this lucrative, not for the little guy. So we're going to take a quick break and come back.
Okay, yeah, we'll be back in just a minute. Again, the phone number is 347-945-5428. And remember, Annette Lynch, Olympian, going to be with us,
awesome.
Motivational speaker. A coach coming up in the second half hour, so we will return right after this.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
RealtyUniversal.com, the website, of course, to check all of that out. And Randy Zachary, my name, and Natalie Mullenix, president and founder of Realty Universal, on the line as well. And the number to call in, 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. If you've got a question about eminent domain or REITs, and, of course, Annette Lynch, Olympian and the motivational speaker, going to join us here in just a few minutes. I've got a question on the REACH.
Okay.
Could you kind of revisit that? I mean, we've said that a couple times. You focused mainly on the eminent domain, but how does the REACH tie in? What is the REACH?
With the eminent domain, well, real estate investment, it's a real estate investment trust is what a REIT is. And it can be stocks,
okay.
it can be people having a group, but typically you'll see it in under stock forms. And so a lot of these big mortgage companies may own the REITs, you know, they're part of the REITs, and that may be involved in the eminent domain. And so it really, really is important. It could scare them off or it could make them want to buy, depending on what is in there. So it's very important to do that. You know, and I wanted to mention if you're listening or listen later and you have a story to tell us about this, could please email or call or let us know because we want to be keeping an eye on this. This is not going to, you know, there's a lot of different towns and a lot of places where it may not make news, but it's very important, you know, and we'd like to be able to keep following this because the issue is going to grow larger and larger. Yeah, and so the REITs kind of tie in because they're in real estate investment trusts Yeah, it's all tying in, but the only thing that is scary is that it really looks like it's just leaning towards the big guys having more power, and I don't think that's not what we're about. That's not where this. That's not how the country did
yeah.
very well. You know, so.
Hello, government by the people, for the people is what I recall.
Did they forget that?
Reading, where did that? Somewhere?
Was that like in a fairy tale now? It's like it's not reality anymore, is it? It was like, was that like a made up story or something?
I don't know.
We learned it that way,
but,
didn't we?
You know, and you really are in some ways. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, and the eminent domain idea is another example. Without getting too far afield into a political conversation, but It is an ideology, isn't it? It is a it ties
yeah.
into this kind of bigger government, government control kind of thing, instead of, you know, individuals and communities and businesses controlling their destinies.
We really, you know, the American dream of, you know, family, have a house, white picket fence, you know, is just really changing drastically, and I think one thing is we have to remember that one person can make a difference. And we need, you know, your voice needs to be heard. I think, you know, it's getting so overwhelming that a lot of people are just wanting to shut it off and go take care of their life and just forget about it. And your voice is needed, you know. So just want to keep that going out there. We're going to have a lot of changes. This Obamacare has been very, very unsettling. And we're just going to have to see where the dust, where everything shakes out when it's over. With the next few years, but it's going to be interesting in the next 3 to 5 years.
It absolutely is. It really is. You know what I mean? We will see. So, again, folks can check out the website, realtyuniversal.com, and for any, you know, I'm amazed when I go to that website, I'm amazed at the simplicity. The simplicity of the front page and how easy it is to navigate, and yet how much information there is on that website. There's a lot of stuff on there for folks to look at, isn't there?
Yeah. We just
accumulation.
So it's all good. Yeah. And to everybody out there, if you are celebrating Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah as well. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I learned something new every day. I had no idea, you know, all the years. I even went to Pikesville Junior and Senior High, which was 97% Jewish, and I have a lot of Jewish friends, and I never realized that Hanukkah, I always thought it was in December, like right before Christmas, you know, the 8 days.
Mm.
So, I hope you're enjoying time with your family, because that's what it's all about, right? The special times that we have. And
special times. Yep. And, you know, and the thing is, and we've talked about this, especially in the second half of our show, where we get into some personal healing and personal growth and development stuff. But I've noticed, and I'm getting better as I get older, frankly, long about Thanksgiving or a week before Thanksgiving, and you and I have talked about this because of our dysfunctional kind of whatnot upbringing, I notice this kind of gloom that over the years, and it took me a while to figure it out, but usually a week before Thanksgiving, I start getting this kind of gloom, like, you know, because the holidays weren't really great for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just never were. And so, you know, I just start to feel this, oh, here we go again. Everybody else is going to be happy, and I'm not, you know. And as I've gotten older, I realize I choose my own happiness.
Exactly.
I'm an adult, right? And as an adult, yep. And this goes for a lot of you out there that may be struggling, because I know the holidays can be depressing for some people who, you know, maybe have similar maybe backgrounds where it just never was really good when you were young, or very rarely good or fun. And you see all these, you know, commercials with the loving, beautiful families and big Christmas trees and lots and lots of expensive presents and, you know, the brand new Toyota Celica, you know, with the bow around it as a gift and all that stuff. And, you know, just you choose your own happiness. So you literally can flip it. And I'm getting better at that. You know,
isn't it awesome?
From a couple
weeks
ago. Yeah.
It's awesome. And you know what? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, you guys are great. And you've you know, material stuff never really meant a lot to me ever. It just, I guess that's why I was always able to make a lot of money and put it back in the businesses. I mean, in the same way, like it didn't mean so much. But now getting older, I so realize how, like, if we don't have our health, we have nothing. You know, so you always look at, like, you can look at things and put it in perspective and say, hey, wait a minute, it could be worse, or it could be this, or it could be that, you know. But as you're right, it's just, as we get older, we certainly learn quite a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
You can flip it. You can change it. Yeah. I love that.
Well, I realize that just breaking my leg and myself, I mean, doing what I did this past week, I'm going, oh, my goodness, everything's on hold. Mm. I can't travel back the way I need to. Things are, and I'm going, okay, but it could be worse. I'm not paralyzed. I'm not, you know, I mean, it could be worse. And you start to put things in perspective, you know. And you're right. Yeah. So I just think the seasons, I just wish we celebrated Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving all year long, because just if people were just nicer and nice to people. No, I think it's awesome, you know, to be able to do it. And and there's poor turkeys. Yeah, just wonderful. No, it's really awesome. I like it better than the shopping and all that kind of stuff, all the rushing. I just rather see friends and have a good time. Yep. We're almost to the second half of our show.
Yeah. Let's take another break real quick. And on the other side, Annette Lynch will be with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to Realty Universal Radio.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters, because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcoming. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say, there are some people that's like, ready, fire, aim. And, you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/life plan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that'll give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A five-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan in a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/life plan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
Yeah, buddy. Michael Hyatt, The Life Plan. Good stuff. Michael Hyatt, amazing. Follow him on Twitter. He's got like a million Twitter followers. Randy Zachary, my name, and Realty Universal, the name of, again, the show, realtyuniversal.com, the website. Natalie Mullinex is with us. Of course, she's president and founder of Realty Universal. First half, we typically talk real estate stuff and nuggets. And by the way, you can check out the over, what, almost 2 years now, Natalie, of shows we've done that are on our in our archive there at blogtalkradio.com. Just type in Realty Universal. And lots of great information there. And following in the tradition of the second half of the show where we talk motivation and inspiration, we have got, and I've been waiting, this is exciting, Annette Lynch is with us. She's an Olympian. She represented Australia in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney in the sport of beach volleyball. She's now a speaker, trainer, and coach. She helps entrepreneurs with confidence and skills for speaking, leadership, and communications. She's got a passion for helping others step out of the shadows to shine their light, and she's spoken on stages as a keynote and seminar trainer all over the world, and wrote a book, Success Beyond Sport, aimed at athletes in transition, and that'll be part of our conversation today, no doubt about it. And based in Maui, Annette's currently involved in mentoring youth with the speaking for the 2014 TEDx event. Annette, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Randy. It's great to be here. I know we've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah, we absolutely
welcome.
Have. We've got some other partnership type things we're working on the island of Maui, and there's so much to to cover here. This 25 minutes or so is gonna fly by. But let's start kind of with the Olympics, because that's very, very cool. I mean, being an Olympian, I've learned, is much like being like president of the United States. You're always called Mr. President, even after you've left office. And you are an Olympian forever. I mean, that's the cool thing about that. And how cool was it to be in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney? That's awesome. Talk about that experience.
It was very cool. It was a long-awaited fulfillment of a dream, and because I dreamt of going to Olympics from when I was 10 years old, from being a young gymnast and seeing Nadia Comaneci perform. I thought, wow, I want to do that. And it was a long-winded road. I was a gymnast, and that sort of didn't happen for me because of injuries, and so I fell into volleyball and was really aiming for the 96 Olympics, and that didn't happen, even though at one stage, you know, it was all set to go there. I was ranked eighth in the world. And, yeah, I won't give all the details of that story, but just had to really stick at it. And I was 34 when I finally made it and got to play in front of my home crowd in 2000 Sydney. And we played on day one in front of 10,000 people, so you can imagine how exciting that was. And, we really had the game of our lives, and we played against a U.S. team. They were number two in the world at the time, and we were ranked 22, and so we were up against the wall, and we really gave them a great fight. And I can still remember tying up 13-all and just the crowd going wild. You know, if you can imagine 10,000 people, or the number of people that were in the audience that were cheering for us, stamping their feet on the stadium and cheering, and just, you know, and me thinking, wow, just focus on the next point, focus on the next point. We're in this game.
Mm. Wow, yeah, in front of your home crowd, and being so kind of the underdogs, that just makes that really. And so you tied like the set and the match, so it was 13-13 the game, and then you guys had them tied, huh?
Well, it was tied up 13-all, and the game is in that. It was just before we changed the rules to rally point, and then so it was basically the first team that made it to 15. You only get a point when you serve. And I like to focus and remember the game up to 13-all because the next 2 points against us went all too quickly, unfortunately. And yes, we did lose that game. And 2 days later, we were up against the Germans, and we lost that game too. And we didn't really put in the same level of performance, and that was disappointing. It was a disappointing finish. And after dreaming of getting to the Olympics and getting there and competing, you know, at day three, we were out. It was over.
Mm. Wow. But what a memory that, like you say, lasts a lifetime. And I understand, doing some reading up on you, and at one time, and I don't know if this is still true, but you held the Olympic record for the fastest serve.
I did, and I don't often share that in my message because there's so much to say, but that was a proud achievement. we were on day three. We were playing up against the Germans, and our backs were against the wall, and I just thought, well, I'm just going to go for it, and that was one of my strengths of my game was my serving, and just went for it with a jump serve, and the crowd erupted because it was, I don't think it was quite nice, but it definitely it was a winner. And it was the fastest at that time. And I held it for 2 to 3 days before my teammate from there were three Australian teams competing. And she was in a similar situation again. Rather than being down and back against the wall, they were cruising at 8-0 against another team. And she thought, well, I'll go for it. And she broke my record.
Wow.
And went on to win the gold medal as well.
Wow. So do you I want to talk in a minute about kind of the struggle with the transition, which I know a lot of elite athletes struggle with. But I just before we get there, I want to ask, do you still play kind of just for fun around Maui and stuff? Do you still play quite a bit or a little bit or what?
I do. At one point up till this year, I was really playing on a regular basis, one or two times a week. There's a great bunch of gals, competitive here on Maui, and you know, I play as much for fun as to have a bit of a competition and to keep fit. Less so this year, have had a few little aches and pains and other commitments. You know, it's not as important to my life as it once was, so it's fitting it in with everything else.
Well, I just had you know me, I'm kind of the entrepreneur guy. I just had a brainstorm. We could set up like a big sign. You could be out there playing volleyball, and tourists could come by and take pictures, you know, with the Olympian Annette Lynch.
Mm.
There we go. I don't know. Mm. I could just see how people. You never know. I could see how folks. You know, it's very cool to be able to say I played with Annette Lynch. You know, I played volleyball with her. And so Hey, let's
It's interesting because that reminds me because, you know, for a long time I didn't appreciate that I was an Olympian and that I am an Olympian, and because my friends, you know, went on to win a gold medal, and I hang around with Olympians, and I just thought, you know, I'm just an Olympian, which is crazy because I started hanging out with non-athletes and, you know, the number of people that have not even met an Olympian, and I sort of realized, well, you know, I live in a rarefied world, I guess, and I really have come to appreciate a lot more in the last, you know, 5 years than I did in particularly the first 10 years of that.
Yeah, because I'm sure you see it in their eyes. I mean, when somebody introduces you as an Olympian, I mean, you know, people realize that they're in kind of the presence of somebody pretty amazing, that you've done what you've done, and anybody who's reached that, and that kind of transitions into our conversation about the transition, because I've worked in radio with several professional football players, baseball players who were transitioning, you know, out of you know, that elite status of being a professional, and it was difficult. I mean, I think of J.D. Hill, who was a all-pro wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills back in back in the O.J. Simpson, when O.J. Simpson played for the Buffalo Bills way back. But J.D., you know, we did radio shows together and TV shows together, and we had an organization for kids that we were working with. And I remember kind of walking with him through that struggle of, you know, of, man, it's hard to let go. And why don't you talk about that? Because I know that's a part of your journey is that, you know, you had, you know, a couple of retirements, and it took like quite a few years really for you to, you know, regroup, rediscover and renew and get going on your new track. So talk a little bit about that transition you went through.
Yeah, well, I was like a lot of athletes thinking, you know, I'm ready, and, you know, I was looking forward to retirement, and then it just wasn't what I imagined it to be, and I see that in a lot of athletes now. They think, yeah, I'm fine, I don't need help, you know, I'm going to be in that percentage that do well, but, you know, the statistics show that 80% of athletes in retirement encounter some form of depression, and I definitely went through those periods and kept going back to sport because that was what I knew, that was my comfort zone, and that was where I got my rewards in life. That was my passion, and, you know, I felt significant. There's various motivational speakers that will talk about the need for significance, and that's where I got my significance, was on the beach volleyball court. You know, other people will find significance in their relationship, in their families, and I actually didn't have a relationship to make me feel good, and so my relationship was with volleyball, beach volleyball, and so I retired three times over 6 years, and the thing that helped me finally move forward was really finding new passion, a new the key thing was finding a new identity, really realizing I was more than just an athlete. You know, we do what we identify with, and identity is a key factor in why people will go through this roller coaster ride. For example, you know, a lot of people who will lose weight, but then I put it back on because I identify with being that larger, fatter person, and it isn't until you sort of realize why you're so much more than that. My journey included studying the mind and how our mind creates our results. And I studied NLP, which I think, Randy, you're familiar with, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which is how we're programmed to think a certain way. And, you know, we live life defined by certain things, and identity was a real key thing. And so going through my experiences and studying the effect of our values and our beliefs on our life and our results made me realize that, well, other athletes are going through this, and you know, looked at what steps did I take to finally transition and move on to new passion and to really identify as a business person, and that became my book, which was Success Beyond Sport, How to Retire from Sport and Keep Winning in Life.
And it talks about, again, eight winning points for success and fulfillment. And could you talk about a couple of those? Just obviously, we don't have time to go through all of them, but Talk about a couple of those kind of winning points that you kind of outline.
Yeah, well, in the beginning, it's really a foundation of having an understanding of how you are the creator of your results. You cause, you know, whatever results you're having, good or bad, you are the cause, and how to take responsibility. Then it's getting really clear on your goals, because as an athlete, you know, for me, my biggest goal was I just want to be happy. And, you know, putting happiness outside of myself, and I didn't really have clear set goals, whereas with the Olympics, gosh, I knew where I was going. I had this sort of real determination to get there, and so it's finding something that inspires one again. And this is true, obviously, for anyone that is not happy with their results. They're going to be able to take away information from this book that will help them, guide them to where they want to go. Then there's the stuff that is deep down and you're not even aware of. What do you believe? What do you believe about your ability to achieve your goals? You know, it's one thing having a goal, but if you don't believe it's possible for you or for anybody, then you're not going to make it happen. You're not going to be committed to it.
Yeah.
Your values, and then the identity was a big key thing, is creating a, not a new identity, but an expanded identity, that you are more than what you've put yourself into a box, you know, increase that box.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, that's so true. And on any one of those, we could take a whole hour and talk about, and I know you do kind of break down a lot of those in your talks. But that's so true. Belief is so powerful. I mean, we have no idea, really. I mean, we kind of, like, so much in life, we see, oh, yeah, yeah, what you believe, you know, is really important. And then, but we don't really realize. And you mentioned those things that are deep down, and we're all products of, you know, our childhood. And so there are these kind of self-limiting beliefs that we've come to accept about ourselves. And you just, you know, boom. Like a true teacher, you know, nailed me, right, the weight loss part of it, because that's so true. I've done that over the years. You know, lost a lot of weight, gained it back, and again, there is something to be said, and you hit it on the head about that's kind of where I feel comfortable, right? When I start losing a lot of weight and being in shape and feeling good, and it's like, well, this is weird. This is not me. And that's just interesting,
yep.
But that's deep stuff, so I appreciate that. Man,
how do people find you? Like, I mean, to buy the book, buy your book, and then also if companies want to hire you or people for speaking, etc.
Mainly through the web. My main website is AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com,
okay.
And that is as much about me speaking to groups and organizations as well as teaching speaking. And then from there, you can find me with my Success Beyond Sport, which is its own separate website and is also on Amazon.
Fantastic.
Annette Lynch speaking. And trust me, if you Google Annette Lynch Maui, she's everywhere. It's all over the place. So that's how I found you. I remember, I think I was, you know, when we're working on a radio project over there, and I Googled, like, you know, Motivational Speakers Maui, and boom, you're number one on Google for that, you know?
Wonderful.
And I thought, okay.
Well, that's good to know.
I know. I meant, okay, I've got to meet this lady. And then it just kind of, again, happened through a mutual friend of ours. And I was standing one day in front of you, and I'm like, whoa, I saw you on the internet. Now I'm standing here talking to you. And you've got a lot going on. So, yeah, you help people. And let's talk about that a little bit. You kind of multifaceted in what you do. You obviously speak to companies, organizations worldwide. You do coaching as well, obviously, and again via Skype, which makes it pretty cool. So anybody in the world can hire you as a coach. So And then you also teach or train people how to be better speakers. And let's kind of take each one of those for a minute, and let's start with the teaching people how to speak, because that's interesting, huh? There's a lot more to it than you would think. People think, I can do that, and everybody kind of is critical of, you know, a speaker, and yet there's a lot more to it, isn't there?
Yes, and a lot of people don't actually think, you know, I could do that, because it's the number one fear is speaking in front of crowds. And
I
always felt comfortable speaking. I actually feel more comfortable speaking to a group than I would one-on-one. It's just, I guess when I speak to a group, I've got a reason to be there, and people want to hear what I've got to say. And I got into speaking through the Olympic experience, being able to be a motivational speaker, and then it evolved to my studies, which then I was teaching other people to learn the NLP, the neuro-linguistic programming, and the coaching. So it evolved. And a lot of my coaching and workshops was really focused on the mindset and how to be the best that you can be. And a year and a half ago, I was working with my own coach and said, well, you obviously have this gift for speaking that other people don't have, and you should focus on that as refining my niche on who I should work with. And I rejected the idea at first, thinking, well, you know, that just doesn't feel like what I'm passionate about. And I decided to stick with it and trust her judgment, explored it further, and found, you know, what were my key things that I could teach people. And it was really about being able to connect with an audience and to get really clear on your message. And that's what really isn't easy to do, and to make your message in a way that it gets across, it connects with the audience, and the audience leaves with something. They remember you. And you've got the confidence to go out there. We're overcoming the nerves. And, and that gives me the greatest gratification. This is where, again, the mindset stuff comes in, because people will come to the workshops and the confidence they gain from that carries over into other areas of their life. And they might never speak to a group in an audience, but knowing that they can gives them the confidence to do other things in their life.
Mm. You know, I had an experience, you know, recently, and we kind of talked about the 3 weeks I was on Maui working on this Pono Radio project. We kind of called it the Maui Miracle Tour, but it seemed like every day people were showing up, and alliance, you know, allies, and, you know, you talk about when your intent, you know, when you set your intention, the universe kind of aligns itself, and literally many, many people, I heard them say, use this term or phraseology, wow, Randy, it seems like the island is opening itself up to, you know, you and this idea. I kept hearing that, and I actually got to speak through a series of wacky events and miracles to the Lahaina Rotary lunch one day. and you'll appreciate this, because I've always struggled when I speak with being nervous for a variety of reasons, but especially a group I don't know, you know. And I've done stand-up comedy. I've done a lot of stuff to battle that. But long story short, I walked into that Lahaina Rotary group, and I don't know, maybe I didn't have time to get nervous because I was asked to speak like on the spot. But I like you, I like to be prepared and know what I'm going to, you know, speak on, at least have an outline. And, but it was one of those moments where I literally, if I could bottle whatever happened in that room, you know, I guess because I was so relaxed, I walked up and started kind of being funny and people were laughing. And so I kind of had them there, shared some kind of content from one of my friends and mentors, John Maxwell, talking about everybody communicates, few connect, the importance of connecting in business and life. And then a little bit about Pono Radio. It was like 15 minutes where I walked off and went, wow, that was fun. I enjoy it when it's like when I'm not battling the nerves. What would you say to somebody who said, I kind of think I want to be a speaker, but I get so nervous? What would you say to them?
Contact me and work with me.
AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com.
Yeah. But particularly just to really identify, you know, what are you nervous about? What are your concerns? What are you thinking? And, and seeing really what is there to be nervous about. And to get out of your own way and know that it really is about the audience. It's about being there for them. What do they need from you? And, you know, if you've been asked to speak, you obviously have something to give. And if you're thinking about the audience, then that's going to help. And the other thing is to pay attention to what makes you think you're nervous. Often people will talk themselves into being nervous, you know, whether they're just saying, oh, I'm nervous, you know, and confirm that. Or they're feeling a little bit of a butterfly feeling and taking that to mean they're nervous. And I get those butterfly feelings even now with all my experience, and especially in new circumstances. And I just say, great, that means I'm ready. That means I'm here and on my toes, ready to do something great. And just settling in and take a deep breath.
That's good.
And get out there.
Yeah. Awesome. We're talking to Annette Lynch, and we just have a few minutes left, and I knew this would fly by. So folks, again, can go to AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com, and they can connect with you for coaching on various levels. So, you know, obviously business, you know, life, and also speaking. And it's funny how those all kind of really kind of intertwine anyway, I would imagine, as you get to know somebody.
Plus they can sign up for some free tips, so it doesn't have to cost them anything just to get a bit more of an idea of what I'm about.
Cool. Well, I want to take the last few minutes here. We've got about 3.5 or so. And this segment brought to you by Wine Me, Dine Me, Dekine Me. And I would love for you to talk about that. That's a very cool thing that you and your husband and some others are doing.
Yes, it does take me on a little bit of a different tangent, but it's an idea that evolved through my friend Sherry and her partner Bill. Sherry came across with her design of Wine Me, Dine Me, Dekine Me. You know, I thought it would be great on a T-shirt. But for some time, me and my husband had been thinking about a wine tote. You know, we couldn't find one and thought, well, gee, the Wine Me, Dine Me, Dekine Me lends itself to being on a wine tote. Let's go out and design it. And so we designed it, or Stephen did, my husband, and we have put it out there and sampled it and tested it out and have just recently launched it on Kickstarter, Kickstarter being a crowdfunding site, Kickstarter.com, and basically testing the market and looking to create the funds so that we can manufacture up to 1,000 totes. You know, it's pretty hard to put up your own money and then have all these totes and not knowing whether you can sell it, and crowdfunding gives you an opportunity to both test the market and get the necessary funds. And it's a pretty cool bag. I know you've seen it and love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved, and at the particular party we were at, you know, I know everybody was wishing they had one, that's for sure, because you often show up to a place and there's rarely enough wine or beer, frankly, right, often, and you know, if you have your own, bada-bing, there you go. And now, they can go to Kickstarter.com and probably just type in Wine Me, Dine Me, Dekine Me, right?
They can, yep, or Wine Tote, or the if they've got a pen right now, if they go to bit.ly/tote808, then that will get them directly to our page.
Oh, okay. And again, as I've said before, and this is true, I'm not exaggerating, you Google, you know, Google Annette Lynch, and you'll eventually find the wine tote, you know, somewhere there, because I know it's kind of the process right now. And I'm excited for you guys, and it sounds like a very, you know, it sounds like a cool idea, and then I've seen it, and I see how practical it is, and so people can look at that and see exactly what we're talking about. 1 minute, man, oh man, did this fly by. Again, want to let everybody know, AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com is the website, AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com. Also on Facebook, right? They can be your friend on Facebook, right?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, I love a personal message and tell them, you know, that they heard me on radio, and then I'll be sure to click yes and accept them as a friend. And I also have my page as well. And, you know, I like to keep it up with various motivational quotes and tips. So, you know, I like giving. I noticed you posted about the Go Giver book, and believe that everyone gains from everyone giving.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's your book that I've got to get back to you. I'm publicly saying that right now and right here. I borrowed that book from you, and I've got to get it back to you.
So, I know where you are.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I'll be back, to quote our former governor of California. Annette Lynch, thank you for being with us. I know you're busy. We look forward to exciting things, of course, with the Wine Me, Dine Me, Dekine Me, and then people can connect with you on AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com. But thanks again for hanging out with us, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, thank you so much, Randy.
It's
I really
been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
Aloha.
Aloha to everyone out there. I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.